Morning.
All right, first, let me just say it's very, very good to see each of you guys. I haven't been in a bit. We've been actually trying to go around a little bit to the other Bible studies that are going on. It seems like, just so you guys, if you know or don't know, there's like three other Bible studies going on right now on Wednesday mornings, spread out between Broussard, Youngsville, Lafayette, and just what God's up to and what's going on is awesome.
Great.
So I miss you guys, and I'm really excited about being here this morning. Turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. I like to pray for us to get started. If you're bow your head with me, Father, I just say, I just lift you up right now, God.
Yes.
That you're so much higher than what we understand, what we know. I pray for the people of Florida right now, Father, in the path of this hurricane. I pray that you will protect them. I pray that your will shall be done. I pray you protect every single child and mother and family that's caught inside of this storm. I pray for a peace that surpasses all understanding for those that are caught in it, that have to deal with it, that have to live through it. That you will give them a peace,
yes.
That you will be with them,
yes.
To walk with them, to protect them, to heal them. I pray for every man that's inside of this room, for any prayer that's inside of their hearts right now, any burdens that are on their hearts, that we lift those things up to you and we give them back to you. And as you take them away from us, we accept and we receive the peace that you give back to us in replacement. And it's in your Son Jesus' mighty and powerful name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, Acts chapter 20. As we're sort of coming to the tail end of the book of Acts, if you guys have been following along with us, you've been experiencing the story of Acts and how the early church began and how Paul, really from the road to Damascus, just God lit him up in a great way and put the light inside of him. And he's been traveling from town to town to town, preaching the good news of Jesus, converting Jews to be Christ followers, for Gentiles to have a place to worship Christ and to learn of who Christ is. And so we've seen this go all the way up to where we are today in Acts 20. And post 20, we find out that Paul is going to be in Jerusalem and he's going to be imprisoned. So he's going to be taken in as a slave. Now we know that he's been flogged before. We know that he's been, rocks have been thrown with him to kill him. But now we know that he is going to be imprisoned for the next 3 years from Jerusalem en route to get to Rome. And it's amazing the story, if you read through it, that goes all the way through Acts 28. And learning about what's going to happen as we move forward. But we see today in Acts 20, we're on the heels of 19. And this 20, I'm so excited about because there's something special that you may or may not know about this chapter. But this chapter is actually the chapter that we see the farewell to the Ephesian leaders. Paul is going to see all of the Ephesian leaders for the last time before he sets sail off to Jerusalem. And this is a big moment in Paul's journey of the Bible and what's going on. And we get to see the story play out, which I'm going to read today, and we're going to kind of dive into it to learn a little bit more about what Paul was up to. But we're on the heels of what happened in with Demetrius and the craftsmen who were building statues. They were so concerned that Paul was going to come in and turn up their religion and mess up what they have, all of their craftsmen friends have been earning a living off of, that we find out that he gets pushed out of town, and now he ends up in where he's at today, which this is where we pick it up. So he stays in Troas for about 3 months at the Festival of the Unleavened Bread. And while he's in Troas, we're going to pick up this story of a little boy named Eutychus, which is a very interesting story. So turn with me to verse 7, and I'm going to read it out of NIV. And it says this: on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people And because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. Pastor Jason, if you guys want to go to a church that he says he loves to speak till midnight,
I'm going to let T.J.
teach. That's T.J.'s message. And he kept on talking all the way to midnight. He knew that he was en route, that something was about to happen. And so he's taken every single opportunity to preach the news of Jesus. Amen. And whatever it took, however long it took, we see the sacrifices of Paul throughout the entire book of Acts, and it's so honorable in his story. So it says that he was talking all the way until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Luke is, of course, telling us this story, and it says that seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Mm. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him, and he said, "Don't be alarmed, he's alive." Wow. Then he went upstairs again, broke bread, and ate. And after talking until daylight, Paul leaves. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I don't quite know what to even say about that story, but I do know that Eutychus joins a very prestigious club with Jairus' daughter, the one that was raised back from the dead. And of course, Lazarus, we know, it was raised back from the dead. And so Eutychus falls into this story. And so Acts 20 gives us this. And then we move on a little bit further. And it says that Paul, as he starts heading into Jerusalem or en route to Jerusalem, he ends up in a place called Miletus. And what he does is he says to the Ephesian leaders, I like to call them the sages, he says that, meet me in Miletus because I want to talk to you guys. And this is where we pick up Acts 20, the famous farewell to the Ephesians leaders. Now, as I prayed on this message and as I began to ask God for me, I don't know if you guys know, but Greg Manuel was a big part of my life. Greg Manuel was a spiritual mentor to me. If you don't know Greg, Greg ended up dying in a plane crash that happened roughly 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he played a very big role in my life. I've been walking with him for probably 10 years. And as a 73-year-old man, which is still young.
Amen.
Amen.
I see you.
Preaching, brother.
I got a chance to spend time with a 73-year-old man for 10 years of his life, when in his last 10 years,
right,
he had every choice.
Yep.
If you didn't know Greg, Greg was sort of well-to-do. He's been in business for 50 years of his life.
His dad's business.
And he took his dad's business and turned it on its head and turned it into what it is today. But the point I'm trying to make is Greg became an elder in my life. A sage is what we call that. Somebody in your life, and I'm looking at so many of you men, and you guys are the sages. You guys are the elders. And Paul is speaking to the sages and to the elders and telling them about his journey, his testimony, and his message to them and the importance of the role that they played. And I'm going to tell you, my dad just retired. And I watched, you know, him go through this journey of retirement and shift off to this next season of his life. And it's funny how, as we get older, it's the time where we typically have the most, but it's a time that you're sort of trying to figure out how to have the least. And I want to remind you, as a sage, as an elder, it's your role and it's your responsibility to listen to what Paul is about to say, because what Paul is saying is directed to the elders of the Ephesian church. I want to remind you, the Ephesian church is where Paul spent roughly 3 years of his life. He worked with them. He lived amongst them. He tells us everything there is to know about it. But the love that he has for the Ephesian church is greater than probably most loves for most of the cities that he's ever preached in, spent time in. And these elders are who he did life with. And this is a very vulnerable, empathic, compassionate-filled story that I'm excited to read to you. So let's do it. All right, number 17, verse 17, Acts 20, and this is where it says this. And it says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesians for the elders of the church. When they arrived, Paul said this, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he brought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance all among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when Paul finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship. I was moved by this purely because of my honor that I have for the Apostle Paul. I say it all the time about the GOAT. It's not LeBron James for anybody. And it's not Larry Bird for you sages and you elders in the room. It is Michael Jordan officially. But besides Christ, Paul is the closest thing to the GOAT that we've seen. And, you know, this message was for the Ephesian leaders of the church. But I think what we can glean from, or what we can take away from, is the power of your life being an elder in your kingdom. And what I mean by that is all of us are a king of our own kingdom. We are the head of our family. You are the Adam of your testimony. And at some level, taking this away from Paul is going, this is what Paul was telling the elders of the Ephesian church, which again, Christ came and wants us to die for the church because he loved the church so much. It's the most important thing to Christ. And we see the leaders, the shepherds, the elders, the sages, you guys, who are the generation who are to pour back your wisdom, your understanding, your experiences, the things that you've been through to people like me and younger. And it becomes a role that as we get older, today's the day you have the most influence of your life. Because I think about Greg and I think about his role of sitting with me. I'm not the same person that Greg sat with the first time. And I look back at my life 10 years later of having spiritual men inside of my life loving me enough to invest into me, to guide me, to be a mirror, to go, hey, just go this way. I don't need you to tell me all the answers. I just need you to guide me in the direction that I'm supposed to go. And I think for so many of you guys as men, you're entering into a season and into a stage and into a time of your life where it looks like less is more. But I would like to challenge you to receive this message from Paul as a farewell letter to the elders, telling them how important their role really is. For any of you guys who have read the book of Ephesians, it's one of my favorite books. And if we go to Ephesians, we find out all of the things. Ephesus was the biggest city. It was the largest area of commerce. It was the area that had the most religions. And for Paul and these elders to lead the flock, to lead as shepherds in this city, they've converted the city. And that's why we see the book of Ephesians. And it's such a powerful book. So what I wanted to do just out of having enough time is I want to go through and look at some of the lessons that I think Paul was speaking about in this message and swinging it back over to Ephesians. So follow with me and go to verse 21. And he says this. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in Lord Jesus. Paul played a vital role with John and Luke and those guys back in the day. James, if you remember, when the Jews and the Greeks were fighting over how do you receive this, they said it comes by faith. And they were like, well, he needs to be sacrificed. And you had Paul and these guys step up and go, no, it is by faith that you belong to Christ. It's not by it's not by circumcision. Mm-hmm. Paul was a big part of bringing the Jews and Greeks together. So if we look at Ephesians 2:14, it says this, for he himself is our peace, talking about Jesus, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus brings unity. Man creates division. Paul comes in, it's only in his weakness that he's made strong, and comes in and joins both Jews and Greeks together as one under Christ. That's what he did in Ephesus. But it's only through grace and mercy. Second thing was the unity of Christ. Paul had a grand message. I mean, think about that. We've been living for your entire life, call it 100 years, of knowing Christ. Paul is, for the first time, walking village to village, post to post, telling them what you know of your Old Testament is no longer the Old Testament unless you understand the New Testament. And the New Testament is about a man named Jesus. That these laws that we try to live by will never, ever be able to live up to each of them. So you will always fall back into shame. But because of Christ, we have been saved. We have been delivered from this. We can be in back in relationship with God because of Christ who lives in and through us. Ephesians 1:10 says to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. He literally took Ephesus and the elders and went out into this place and literally brought everybody together under Christ with so many different religions. I mean, for me, that's so big. It's a miracle in itself. For those things to occur, for one man to work with these elders, and I went back and I started to go, how many elders were there? There wasn't more than a dozen of those guys. So you're talking Paul, and you're talking a handful of guys who go out into this big old city, the greatest city of commerce and business and religions and multiples. The Greeks were running crazy at the time, and statues and the philosophies of life. And Paul, by the power of Christ, who lives in and through him by the Holy Spirit, converted a whole city in Ephesus. That's strong. It's powerful. And to recognize that. So Paul says that in verse 24 of this chapter. And then two more. He says, the church as the body of Christ. And the importance. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It wasn't about the preacher. I think for so many of us, we're living in a generation today that you guys, like me sometimes, would rather go listen to a good message instead of read the good book. You'd rather get the interpretation of somebody else's message rather than Christ giving you directly the message. I love what T. Joe used to tell me. He says, Eric, you got to remember the Bible. This was his famous word. The Bible wasn't around back then. The scrolls, if you wanted them, were very expensive. So it wasn't like these guys, Paul, had the word of God telling them exactly what to do. What this is a direct relationship that each of us have with God. And in that relationship is how God's going to speak to you. And the more time you spend with God in that place, the more you begin to hear the voice of God. And you can distinguish the difference between his voice and your voice. This one's my favorite. Paul talks about in verse 29, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. It's crazy how today in our generation, we're like, wow, living in this generation is so bad. This was 2,000 years ago. The savage wolves are going to come in and pull you away from who Christ is by deceiving you. The immorality was happening back then too, just so you know. It wasn't just today. Nothing is new under the sun. But he says this, he says, they will not even spare the flock. Even from your own number of men will arise and distort the truth to draw away disciples from you. So be on guard. And this is one of my favorite verses, and it's in Ephesians 6, verse 11. And it says this, it's the famous armor of God. So put on a full armor of God, men, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our own struggle is not of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And that continues to go on and only gets better. But we are called to put on the full armor of God today. That when you walk outside of this room, what you're going to hear, what you're going to listen to, the voices that are not the voice of God, sometimes are so loud, it confuses us with the one and true God, who delights in us, who wants to speak to you, who wants to be part of your life, who wants to talk directly to you, who wants to drown out the voices of every other voice that's inside of your mind. And in closing, the last one is about spiritual growth and maturity. Verse 35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, that it is better to give than to receive." Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, become imitators of God as well-beloved children." I remember teaching a message in here one time, and the message was about allowing Christ to operate in your life. That if we were to try to understand what this life is about, it's about understanding that it's less of us, zero, emptiness. It's less of your desires. It's less of your understanding. In order to get to a place of nothingness, so you can receive whatever God has for you. And in reception of that gift, by the power of the Holy Spirit, now we allow Christ to operate in and through us. And we become imitators of Christ. It's not that I am trying to emulate Christ or trying to be like Christ. It's the exact opposite. It's to relinquish everything I got, knowing that I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Leave Eric up to himself. He will quench it.
Absolutely.
I'll quench multiple parts of the hose. But I think what Paul is saying in this message, the farewell to the elders, and I'm not taking anything away from Christ because it's Christ who's the goat. I understand that. But being an imitator of Paul, as a great sage, as a great elder, this gives you men a look at exactly what it looks like to serve the flock.
Amen.
Amen. And for some of you are going, "I'm not an elder of a church. I'm not an elder." I'm not talking about that. For some of you guys who are, yes, I'm specifically speaking to that because that's what Paul was talking about. But I also want to remind you that you're an elder and a sage of your home. That the generations, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to, it's your kingdom. You are the inheritance. And you don't have to give them anything material. Watch this. For any of you men who may struggle with this, I feel like I should say this. I want you to understand, for all of us in this life, we are called to give up the earthly inheritance in order to receive the kingdom inheritance. So no matter what your grandchildren, what you got to give them, they got to give up that earthly inheritance anyway in order to get the kingdom inheritance.
Amen. That's good.
It's better for you to sit with your grandchildren and read them a book with your grandchildren, with your children, to apologize for things that you should have apologized for a long time ago. Allow Christ to bring unity into your kingdom as an elder, as a sage, and recognize it's y'all's responsibility, men. I'm so thankful for Greg. I'm so thankful for Greg Manuel and the gift that he imparted into me. Because what he did was he sat with me long enough to hear me, to listen to me, to have a place that was safe, to have a place that we could talk, and he could encourage me. It's going to be okay. That tough season you're going through for the first time, I've gone through about four of those. It's supposed to feel that way. Men, you have the wisdom. Y'all been through tough times like this. It's your responsibility to be imparting into the flock exactly what Paul was saying to the Ephesian elders. And that's why I found it so special. Y'all are made for more. And what Christ can do in and through you is greater than you can ever think about.
Yep.
Amen.
He's chasing after the one, and he's going to use you guys to find him. So, Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Apostle Paul. I thank you for the sacrifices, the surrender of every man, every godly man that put his life down for you, for your light to shine greater than theirs. So, Father, I thank you for what you're up to in Lafayette. Again, I pray for everybody that's going to be impacted in this storm's way. Yes. That we may not know it today, but this is for purpose. This is for your good. So, God, we pray for your will shall be done here on earth. And so, Father, I just thank you for each of these men and their marriages. I pray a blessing over their marriage, the unity of that marriage. I pray that you will bless it. You will just do something with it on your behalf. I thank you for every man that's represented with family, with grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that you will bless these generations, that you will use these men to speak of your son Jesus in a great and miraculous way. That will revolutionize these children's hearts and their souls. So, Father, thank you for what you're doing. We give you the glory, the honor. We pray for this business and the owners of this business that you will make this business prosper. We thank you for allowing us to open up these doors to speak your son's name. And we just give you the glory and the power in his name. Amen.
Amen.
I have an announcement. Friday night at Lafayette campus, there's a men's conference.
It's from 6 to 8. Lafayette, Alpharetta, Samuel, Iberia.
Okay, all three, all, yes.
Yeah.
So there's
a signed autograph from
Friday night. If you want to go to Broussard,
Iberia,
or Lafayette, there's a men's conference from 6 to 8. Y'all come and have fun, and there's food and fellowship, and I'm sure a great message. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.